For centuries, Christians have debated when the rapture will take place. Some have tried to pinpoint a day, a year, and I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when the rapture shall take place in regards to the prophetic calendar. Basically, there are three positions concerning the timing of the rapture that are prominent. First of these is the pre-tribulation rapture position. Second is the mid-tribulation rapture position. And the third is the post-tribulation rapture position. There are two other ones that are really inconsequential, at least for our study tonight. One is a partial rapture. And that is, there's various raptures at various times, depending on whether the saint is ready to be raptured or not. Big problem with that is the Bible only says there will be one rapture. It gives no indication of multiple ones. So we'll throw that one out right away. The other is what Marv Rosenthal popularized a couple of decades ago called the pre-wrath rapture. Basically, it is a modification of the mid-trib position, just a little bit different, so I won't go into detail on that one. It'll be covered in the mid-trib idea. But all these are relative to the tribulation period. Question is, who is right? Well, I hold to the pre-tribulation rapture position, and I'm going to tell you right now, I am right. Now, I say that tongue-in-cheek. I do believe that I have the right position. And as Christians, we should be certain of what we believe about that and be able to say with certainty, this is what I believe. Because as I stated this morning, where we understand ourselves to be in time will determine how we live life. And so I think we should be able to say with absolute confidence, this is what the Bible teaches. However, we should never say it pridefully. And that's why I joked about, of course I'm right. Well, that's not the attitude that I have. The problem with these rapture positions, I'll state that later. Let me just give you pre-trib, somewhere before the beginning of the tribulation is the rapture of the church. The mid-trib recognizes a division that's found in the book of Revelation into two equal parts of 3.5 years. And the mid-trib says that's where the rapture takes place. Post-trib, sometimes after the end of the tribulation period. Now, there's one difference. The Lord descends, the church is caught up, but then basically for most, they turn right around and come back to earth in the second advent of Christ. Now, some hold that there's a little bit of time in there, but most are saying up, down, like an elevator. The problem with all these positions is that there is not a singular definitive statement in Scripture that states when the rapture will occur. There's not a statement that says the rapture will come before the tribulation or in the middle of it. Every position is believed on the basis of putting verses of Scripture together and drawing a conclusion. Some rightly, some wrongly. Let me go through what the justification for these positions are tonight. The post-tribulation rapture position has a number of proofs, but I'm going to give you two that I think are the most prominent. First is John chapter 16, let me check my notes, verse 33. Jesus said, "In the world, you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." And the people who hold this position will say, well, see, didn't Jesus say you're going to have tribulation? Therefore, to think that the church can get out of all of it or part of it is just erroneous. There's no reason that the church can't be going through the tribulation with everybody else. A second argument is that associated with the rapture is a resurrection. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Well, where is there a resurrection in Scripture? Isaiah chapter 26, Daniel chapter 12, both speak of a resurrection of the dead. And both of them are very clear that the timing of that resurrection is just before the second advent of Christ, or with the second advent of Christ, before the millennial kingdom starts. And therefore, you have resurrection, you have a promise of tribulation, it must be after the tribulation period. The mid-trib folks say the same thing about the promise of tribulation, John chapter 16, verse 33. But they also go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52, where Paul says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised, and we shall be changed. Well, there you have it. It's at the last trumpet. In the book of Revelation, there are seven judgments called trumpet judgments. The seventh is the last trumpet judgment. And they believe that that trumpet judgment will take place right around the middle of the tribulation. So there is where the rapture takes place. Those who hold to a pre-tribulation rapture do so on the basis primarily of two verses of Scripture, one in Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, where Jesus promised the churches at Philadelphia that I will keep thee literally out of the hour of temptation that has come upon the whole world to try the whole world. And then the other is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, where it says, we are not appointed unto wrath, which is what the tribulation period is, but to obtain salvation. And therefore, the rapture must come before the tribulation period. That's the justifications. How do we say which one is right and which one is wrong? The post-trib people have a significant problem that I believe is a fatal problem to their belief. That is this: who will populate the millennial kingdom? If the rapture takes place, and the saints that are living on the earth shall be caught up and immediately come back, then everyone that comes back with Jesus will be in their glorified bodies. The rest of the world will be judged and sent to hell. So everyone going into the millennial kingdom would be in their glorified bodies, incapable of physical reproduction. At the end of the millennial kingdom, there is a revolt against the authority of Jesus Christ. Where did these people come from? They could not have been created. So the question is, how was the kingdom populated? You must have people in their natural bodies going into the millennial kingdom, which would cancel out any opportunity of a post-tribulation rapture. I don't think that's possible at all. Mid-tribulation. What about the promise of John chapter 16? Well, here's the problem with that. If that refers to the church corporately, wouldn't the church from day one of its existence need to be alive during the tribulation period? Wouldn't the whole church have to go through it? Because the whole church is going to be raptured together. The church has experienced from time to time, times of tribulation and persecution in the church age. Around 310 AD, under Diocletian, the Roman emperor, there was a severe persecution of Christians. That's tribulation. The church has suffered. The passage that Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 33, he didn't say, in the world you shall have a tribulation period. He said, you'll have tribulation. This is a time of intense tribulation. So I don't think that verse holds there. Well, what about the seventh trumpet? Well, there's a number of problems with that one. Number one, let me get notes here. I need a bigger podium. When Jesus said, in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. How can a person in the middle of the tribulation say, oh good, I'm in the tribulation. I should be happy about this. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. The last trumpet, though, is not the seventh trumpet judgment. When Paul said at the last trumpet, he didn't say trumpet judgment, he said at the last trumpet. There is actually a trumpet that occurs after the middle of the tribulation, which, by the way, the timing of the seventh trumpet is uncertain. It could be, and probably is, in my reckoning, closer to the end of the tribulation than the middle of it. The trumpet there refers to the church, not the people of the earth. It's a gathering together of them. So that time period just doesn't work out, which leaves us with a pre-tribulation rapture position. Unfortunately, though, not all people that are pre-tribs believe in the imminence of the rapture. There are some that would say, yes, I believe the rapture will come before the tribulation, but there are certain things that must happen first before the rapture can take place. Therefore, the rapture is not imminent. The idea that it can happen at any time just isn't the case. Here's how they build their theology. John chapter 21. Jesus says to Peter, verily, verily, I say unto thee, thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walked whither thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whether thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he, that's Peter, should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. So, could the rapture take place before Peter died? And the answer is, nope, couldn't happen, or else Jesus lied. Jesus said, you're going to die. Well, if the rapture takes place and the saints are caught up, Peter wouldn't die. So it wasn't imminent, was it? Well, when did Peter die? We don't know exactly when he died, but we do know this in 2 Peter chapter 1. He says, it's going to be pretty soon, just as the Lord told me. We know roughly when 2 Peter was written. Peter died probably between 67 and 68 AD. So, up until 67 or 68 AD, was the rapture imminent? And the answer is, no, it wasn't. Something had to take place first. But hold the bus. When was the Gospel of John written? Gospel of John was written around 90 AD. In other words, when John recorded what Jesus said to him, Peter was already dead. It's already history. How many people knew about the prediction that Jesus made to Peter about his death? The answer is, it wasn't written down. Only the ones that Peter would have told verbally if he told anybody. And therefore, the church as a whole could have expected an imminent rapture. Well, here's another one. Matthew chapter 24. Jesus went out and departed from the temple. His disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple, and Jesus said unto them, "See not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, what shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming?" Which many interpret to be the rapture of the church. Now, I think falsely, but nonetheless, that's what they say. So, could Jesus come before the destruction of the temple? And the answer is no, he couldn't. Well, when was the temple destroyed? 70 AD. So up until 70 AD, was there an imminence of the rapture? According to the folks that say this is the rapture, no, there wasn't. A few verses later, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all the nations, and then the end shall come." And therefore, the gospel has to go out to the whole world before Jesus can come. What's the problem with that? What gospel? The gospel of the kingdom. We're preaching the gospel of salvation. The gospel of the kingdom is Jesus Christ is coming to set up his kingdom. We don't know when that is. But we do know that he came and died on Calvary's cross and was buried and rose again and provided salvation. That's the good news that we're called to proclaim. I suggest to you that all these things in Matthew chapter 24 and 25 all pertain not to the rapture of the church, but to the tribulation period and the second advent, which is the subject of next week's message. Can I prove imminence? I think I can. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter writes these words, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." I never saw this before until I gave it some meditation this week. Here's the imminence. How can some say, where is the promise of his coming, if the promise was not good in earlier times? If I was going out and I would say to you, at some point in time after this takes place, another thing is going to take place, you could say, okay, well, this first thing hasn't taken place yet, therefore I can't expect the second. But if I say something is going to happen at some time in the future, then you're not looking for intervening things. You're looking, it could be today, it could be tomorrow, it could be the next day. Well, what has happened? They were preaching an imminent rapture. Peter is saying that in the latter days, after so many days of the rapture not taking place, there are going to be some that are going to say, you know what, this whole thing was a bunch of hooey. Just a bunch of baloney. He's not coming. Because since the fathers fell asleep and have died, it's just been one day after another, after another, after another. All things continue to stay the same. you know what, these guys never had it right from the beginning. But the fact that they proclaimed it at a time past indicates they believed that's when the rapture was could take place imminently. Verse 5, for this they are willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that was then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. What's he talking about here? I think he's giving an example of Noah. And I want you to think about Noah. God spoke to Noah and said, I am going to destroy the earth. Did he ever tell Noah when? Never said when. He said, though, but in order for you to escape the judgment, you will need to construct an ark. And Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his house. When the ark was finished, the day it was finished, did the floods come? The answer is, no, it didn't. Not the day. Not the very day. In fact, we don't know how long there was between the actual day it was finished until the flood came. But there was a time when God said to Noah, get your family in the ark. And all the animals came two by two, as the story goes. They all got into the ark. And did the flood come then? It came 7 days later. Here's one of those things where I think it can be fun to speculate. Think of the world around Noah. He starts building the ark. What is that crazy guy doing? Noah, what are you doing, man? I'm building an ark. Why? Because it's going to rain. What's rain? God's going to send water from the heavens, and the earth is going to open up, and water's going to come out of the center of the earth, and the whole earth is going to be flooded. And this is what will protect me. And it's big enough for you too. And the Bible tells us that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. I think. And Enoch was along at this time when that started, and he was a prophet of the coming judgment. And the people are looking at him. Water's going to come out of the heavens and out of the earth. But you are nuts. You are crazy. And every day he's building this ark. Well, got to hand it to him. He really believes this nonsense. But look at it, it's another beautiful day in the neighborhood. Just like yesterday, and the day before, and the day before. And now all of a sudden the ark's finished. And now Noah gets in the ark. Man, maybe this thing really is going to happen. Still another sunny day. And they wake up tomorrow and, yep, still another sunny day. And they wake up the next day, he's all messed up. He's goofy. He's going to die in that thing. And what happened? The floods came the seventh day. Came. God never told them when it would come. God did not say to Noah, it's going to come on the seventh day. He said, just get in the ark. That's prepared for you. What did Jesus say about preparation for us? Well, now it's a little bit different. That's 24, which is in the tribulation. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's the rapture of the church. Is the place prepared for us? Or at least it's in preparation. And when it's prepared, Jesus will come. When will that be? We don't know. But it could be tonight. Let me give you another illustration. Joshua and the people of Jericho. Scripture, we looked at this not too long ago, was all shut up tight because they feared the Israelites. One day, Joshua leads the people. They march around the walls once, and the people are up on the walls and say, "They're getting ready to attack. Oh, no." And all they do is toot on the horns a little bit. And they go home. I guess we scared them off. Next day, they're out there again. And they're back up on the walls and they're saying, "Uh-oh, they're back again." Oh man, all they did is toot on the horns again, and now they're what are these crazy people doing? And the third day, and the fourth day, and the fifth day, and the sixth day, and the seventh day, and they're, "Oh, here we go again." Only this time, they're going around seven times. These guys are nuts. What happened? Judgment came. They were willingly ignorant that God has a timetable. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day with the Lord." God being eternal, time does not have a relevance to him. He has his plan in time, and he will operate in time. But one day to us is no different than 1,000 years to him, and vice versa. But he has a time, and he will operate according to his time. And his time could be any time for us. I believe with all my heart that the rapture of the church is imminent. There are no signs to look forward to it, nothing that needs to occur. It could happen before I take my next breath. And it could happen 1,000,000 years from now, although I doubt that one very much. What's the importance of this passage of Scripture? Drop on down to verse 11. "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved," which brings us to the end of the millennial kingdom, "what manner of persons ought we to be? In some holy..." Oh, I did it again. That word just keeps up popping up all over the place, doesn't it? "In all holy conversation and godliness." One of the attacks against the pre-tribulation rapture is the idea that if God is going to take you, no matter what, you can live a profligate lifestyle. And you're still going up because it doesn't matter. If you're in the tribulation, you know it's coming. You're going to get your life together. If it's at the end of it, you're going to get your life together. But if you don't know, why bother? You're still going to go up anyway. Wait a minute. I think it's just the opposite. If I know that Jesus Christ could come at any minute, I better be prepared now to meet him. I told you this before. It's worth repeating. Oftentimes, after supper, around 7 or 8 o'clock, I'll put my pajamas on because my nap is worn off and I'm getting ready for bed. Old people do that. And Carol will say to me, "What if somebody comes to the door?" Simple answer, you answer it. I'm not going to answer it in my pajamas. I don't expect anybody after 8 o'clock at night. And if they come, it's usually an emergency, and then I'm not worried about being in pajamas. But the problem is, I don't expect people. When I don't expect people, I do whatever I want. But if I expect somebody is coming, you won't catch me in pajamas. And if we're expecting that Jesus Christ could come at any moment, how much more should we be desirous of all holy conversation and godliness? Jesus Christ is coming. Maybe tonight. Let's pray. Father, encourage us with these words, for this world is heading in a bad direction quickly. I pray that we might be used, as we discussed this morning, of the Holy Spirit to be that which He uses to restrain evil. But I also pray, Lord, that our lives would be so caught up with the idea that Jesus Christ could come at any moment, that every second of every day will be consumed with holy conversation and godliness. That as the world looks at us, oh, they might say like they did of Noah and the children of Israel, what are those crazy people doing? But find out in the end, they were doing what God had instructed them to do, and were right all along. Not for our pride, but for Your glory, I pray in our Savior's name. Amen. Have a good week.